Let us now see the last chapter of this book, Natural Hazards and Disasters. You might have read about tsunami or seen the images of the horror on television set immediately after it happened. You may also be aware of the severe earthquake in Kashmir on both sides of the line of control, and the damage caused to the human life and the properties during these episodes have moved us a lot. What are these as a phenomena or how they are caused? How can we save ourselves from it? There are some questions which come into our minds, and this chapter will attempt to analyze some of these questions. Change is a law of nature. It is a continuous process that goes on uninterruptibly, involving phenomena big and small, material and non-material, and that make our physical and socio-cultural environment. It is a process present everywhere with variations in the terms of magnitude, intensity and scale. Change can be a gradual or a slow process, like the evolution of the landforms and organisms, and it can be a sudden or a shift, as volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, earthquakes, lightning, etc. Similarly, it may remain confined to a smaller area occurring with a few seconds, like hailstorms, tornadoes and dust storms, and it can also have a global dimensions such as global warming and depletion of the ozone layer. Besides these, changes have a different meaning for different people. It depends upon the perspective one takes while trying to understand them. From the perspective of the nature, changes are value neutral. These are neither good nor bad. But from the human perspective, they are value loaded. There are some changes that are considerably and good, like the changes of the seasons, ripening of the fruits, while there are others like earthquakes, floods and war that are considered bad and undesirable. Observe the environment you live in and around and prepare a list of the changes which take place over a longer period of time and those which take place within a shorter period of time. Do you know why some changes are considered good and others are bad? Prepare a list of the changes which you notice in your daily life and give reasons why some of these are considered good and others are bad. In this chapter, we will read about some of these changes which are considered bad and have haunted the humankind in a long time. Disaster in general and natural disasters in particular are some such changes that are always disliked and feared by humankind. What is a disaster? Disaster is an undesirable occurrence resulting from the forces that are largely outside the human control. Strikes quickly with a little and no warning, which causes or threatens serious disruption in the life and property, including death and injury to the large number of people, and requires therefore mobilization of efforts in excess of that which are normally provided by the statutory emergency services. For a long time, geographical literature viewed disaster as a consequence of the natural forces, and human beings were treated as innocent, helpless victims in front of these mighty forces of nature. But natural forces are not only the causes of the disaster. Disasters are caused by some human activities. There are some activities carried by human beings that are directly responsible for the disaster. Bhopal gas tragedy, Chernobyl nuclear disaster, wars, release of chlorofluorocarbons and increase of greenhouse gases, environmental pollution like noise, air, water and soil are some of the disasters which are caused directly by the human actions. There are some other activities of the human beings that accelerate or intensify the disasters indirectly. Landslides and floods due to the deforestation, unscientific land use and construction activities in the fragile areas are some of the disasters that are the results of indirect human actions. Can you identify some of the human activities going on in and around your neighborhood and schools that can lead you to the disaster in near future? Can you suggest some measures to prevent it? Is it common experience that human-made disasters have increased both in their number and magnitude over years and concreted efforts are on its various levels to prevent and minimize their occurrences. Though the success has been only nominal so far, it is possible to prevent some of these disasters created by the human actions. As opposed to this, very little is possible to prevent natural disasters. Therefore, the best way out is to emphasize on the natural disaster mitigation and management. Establishment of National Institute of Disaster Management, India, Earth Summit at Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 1993, and the World Conference on Disaster Management in 1994 at Yokohama, Japan, are some of the concrete steps towards the direction initiated at different levels. Most often, it is observed that scholars use disasters and natural hazard as interchangeable, and both are related phenomena yet quite distant from each other. Hence, it is necessary to distinguish between two. Natural hazards. Natural hazards are the elements of the circumstances in the natural environment that have the potential to cause harm to the people or the property or both. These may be shift or a permanent aspects of the respective environmental settings, like currents in the oceans, steep slopes and unstable structure features in Himalayas, or extreme climatic conditions in the deserts or glaciated areas. As compared to the natural hazards, natural disasters are relatively sudden and cause large-scale widespread death and loss of property and disturbance to social systems and life over which people have a little and no control. Thus, any event can be classed as disaster when the magnitude of the destruction and damage caused by it is very high. Generally, disasters are generalized experiences of the people the world over, and no two disasters are similar and comparable to each other. Every disaster is unique in its terms of the local social environmental factors that control it, and the social response to generate, and the way each social group negotiates with it. However, the opinion mentioned above is indicative of the three important things. Firstly, the magnitude, the intensity, frequency, and the damages caused by natural disasters have increased over years. Secondly, there is a growing concern among the people the world over to deal with the menace created by these so that the loss of the human life and property can be minimized. And finally, significant changes have taken place in the pattern of the natural disasters over years. There has also been a change in the perception of natural disasters and hazards. As two closely associated and interrelated phenomena, that is, areas prone to natural hazards were more vulnerable to disasters. Hence, people avoid tampering with the delicate balance that existed in the given ecosystem. People avoided intensification of their activities in such areas, and that is how disasters were less damaging. Technological power has given a large capacity to the human intervention in nature. Consequently, now human beings tend to intensify their activities into disaster-prone areas, increasing their vulnerability to disasters. Colonization of flood plains of the most of the rivers and development of the large cities and ports and towns like Mumbai, Chennai along the coast and touching the shore due to the highland values make them vulnerable to occurrence of cyclones, hurricanes and tsunamis. These observations can also be corroborated by the data given, showing the magnitude of the deaths caused by 12 serious natural disasters in the past 60 years in the different countries of the world. It is evident from the table that natural disasters have caused a widespread of loss and property. The Soviet Union disaster of earthquake, the floods in China, the tropical cyclones in East Pakistan, earthquakes in Iran and Peru, tropical cyclones in the East Pakistan, earthquakes in India, China, Indonesia, tsunamis in Indonesia, etc. Concentrated efforts are on its various levels to take appropriate measures to deal with the situation. It is also being felt that damages caused by the natural disasters have a global repercussions that are beyond the means and capabilities of individual, nation, and states to cope up with it. Hence, This issue was raised in the UN General Assembly and it is finally formalized at the UN Conference on Disaster Management at Yokohama, Japan. This was subsequently called as Yokohama Strategy and a Plan of Action for a Safer World. Classification of Natural Disasters. Human beings the world cover have experienced disasters and faced and lived with them. Now, people are becoming aware and very serious steps have been initiated at different levels for mitigating the effects of the disasters. Identification and classification of disasters is being considered as an effective and scientific step to deal promptly and efficiently with the disasters. Broadly, natural disasters can be classified under four categories. India is one of those countries which has experienced most of the natural disasters, and every year it loses thousands of lives and property worth millions of rupees due to these natural calamities. Classification of natural disasters. Blizzards, thunderstorms, lightning, tornadoes, tropical cyclones, droughts, hailstorms, frost, heat waves, blue, cold waves, etc. are the atmospheric natural disasters. The terrestrial natural disasters like earthquakes, volcanoes, volcanic eruptions, landslides, avalanches, subsidence, soil erosion. The aquatic disasters like floods, tidal waves, ocean currents, storm surge, tsunami. The biological natural disasters like plants and animals as a colonizers, that is locusts, insects, insects infestation, fungal, bacterial and viral diseases such as bird flu, dengue, etc. Let us have a look on Yokohama Strategy and International Decade for National Disaster Reduction, Yokohama Strategy and Plan of the Action for a Safer World. All the member states of the United Nations and the other states met in the World Conference on National Disaster Reduction in the city of Yokohama on March 23, 1994. It acknowledged that the impact of the natural disaster in terms of human and economic losses have risen in the recent years and society and in general has become vulnerable to the natural disasters. It also accepted that these disasters affected the poor and disadvantaged groups the worst, particularly in the developing countries which are ill-equipped to cope up with them. Hence, the conference adopted the strategy as to guide the rest of the decade and beyond to mitigate the losses due to the disasters. The resolution of the World Conference on the Natural Disaster is mentioned as, it will note that each and every country has the sovereign responsibility to protect their citizens from natural disasters. It will give priority attention to the developing countries, particularly the least developed and landlocked countries and some islands developing states. It will develop and strengthen the national capacities and capabilities, and where appropriate national legislation for natural and other disaster prevention, mitigation and preparedness, including the mobilization of non-governmental organizations and participation of the local communities. It will promote and strengthen the sub-regional, regional, international cooperations and activities to prevent, reduce, mitigate the natural and the other disaster, with particular emphasis on human and institutional capacity building and strengthening, technology sharing, the collection, the dissemination and utilization of the information and mobilization of the resources. It declared the decade on 1992-2000 as an international decade for natural disaster reduction. Natural disasters and hazards in India. It was discussed in one of the previous chapters that India is a vast and a diverse in terms of its physical and socio-cultural attributes. It is largely due to its vast geographical area, environmental diversities and the cultural pluralities that scholars often described it using two meaningful adjectives like Indian subcontinent and the land of unity in diversity. Its vastness in terms of natural attributes combined with its prolonged colonial past, continuing various forms of the social discriminations and also equally large population have enhanced its vulnerability to natural disasters. These observations can also be illustrated by focusing on some of the major natural disasters in India. The first comes is earthquakes. Earthquakes are by far the most unpredictable and highly destructive of all the natural disasters. You have already learned in the causes of the earthquake in Fundamentals of Geography. The earthquakes that are the tectonic origin have proved to be the most devastating, and their areas of influence is quite large. These earthquakes result from a series of earth movements brought about by sudden release of energy during the tectonic activity in the earth's crust. As compared to these, the earthquakes associated with the volcanic eruption, rock fall, landslides, subsidence, particularly in the mining areas, impounding of dams and reservoirs, etc., have limited area of influence and scale of damage. It was mentioned in chapter 2 of this book that Indian plate is moving at a speed of 1 centimeter per year towards the north and northeastern direction, and this movement of the plates is being constantly obstructed by the Eurasian plate from the north. As a result of this, both the plates are said to be locked with each other, resulting in an accumulation of energy at different points of time. Excessive accumulation of energy resulting in the building up of stress, which ultimately leads to the breaking of the rock and sudden release of energy, causes earthquake along the Himalayan arc. And some of the most vulnerable states are Jammu and Kashmir, Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Sikkim, Darjeeling, and subdivision of West Bengal, and all the seven states of Northeast India. Apart from these regions, the central western part of India, particularly Gujarat, Maharashtra, have also experienced some severe earthquakes. Earth scientists have found it difficult to explain the occurrence of earthquakes in one of the oldest and most suitable and mature landmass of peninsular block for a long time. Recently, some earth scientists have come with a theory of emergence of a fault line and an energy buildup along the fault line representing by the river Bhima, which is Krishna, near Lathur and Osamabad, Maharashtra, and the possible breaking down of the Indian plate. National Geophysical Laboratory, Geological Survey of India, Department of Meteorology, Government of India, along with this recent formation of National Institute of Disaster Management, have made an intensive analysis of more than 1200 earthquakes that have occurred in India in different years in the past, and based on these, they divided the India into the following earthquake zones: very high damage risk zone, high damage risk zone, moderate damage risk zone, low damage risk zone, very low damage risk zone. Out of these, the first two zones had experienced some of the most devastating earthquakes in India. Areas vulnerable to these earthquakes are northeastern states, areas in the north of India, the area along the Indo-Nepal border in Bihar, Uttarakhand, western Himachal Pradesh, and Kashmir Valley in the Himalayan region, and the Kutch region in Gujarat. These are included in very high damage risk zone. Similarly, the remaining parts of Jammu Kashmir, Himachal Pradesh, northern parts of Punjab, eastern parts of Haryana, Delhi, western Uttar Pradesh, northern Bihar fall under the high damage risk zone. Remaining parts of the country fall under moderate to very low damage risk zone, and most of the areas that can be considered safe are from the stable landmass covered under Deccan Plateau. Socio-environmental consequences of the earthquakes. The idea of an earthquake is often associated with the fear and horror due to the scale and magnitude and suddenness at which it spreads disasters on the surface of the earth without discrimination. It becomes a calamity when it strikes the areas of high density of population. It is not only damages and destroys the settlements, infrastructure, transport, communication network, industries, and other development activities, but also robs the population of their material and socio-cultural gains that they have preserved over generations. It renders them homeless, which puts an extra pressure and stress particularly on the weak economy of the developing countries. Effects of earthquake. Earthquakes have all the encompassing disastrous effects on the area of their occurrence. Some of the important ones are: on ground, fissures, settlements, landslides, liquefaction, earthquake pressure and chain effects, possible chain effects. On the man-made disasters, man-made structures like cracking, sliding, overturning, buckling, collapse, and possible chain effects. On water, waves, hydrodynamic pressure, tsunami, and possible some chain effects. Apart from these, earthquakes also have some serious and far-reaching environmental consequences, and surface seismic waves produce fissures on the upper layer of the Earth's crust through which water and other volatile material gush out, inundating the neighboring areas. Earthquakes are also responsible for landslides, and often these cause obstructions in the flow of rivers and channels, resulting in the formation of reservoirs. Sometimes rivers also change their course, causing floods and other calamities in the affected areas. Earthquake hazard mitigation. Unlike other disasters, the damages caused by earthquakes are more devastating. Since it also destroys most of the transport and communication links, providing timely relief to the victims becomes difficult. It is not only possible to prevent the occurrence of an earthquake, hence the next best option to emphasize on the disaster preparedness and mitigation rather than curative measures, such as establishing earthquake monitoring centers, that is seismological centers for regular monitoring and fast dissemination of information among the people in vulnerable areas. Use of geographical positioning systems can be of great help in monitoring the movements of tectonic plates. Preparing a vulnerability map of the country and dissemination of the vulnerability risk information among the people and educating them about the ways and means minimizing the adverse impacts of the disaster. Modifying the house types and building designs in vulnerable areas and discouraging the construction of high-rise buildings and large industrial establishments and big urban centers in such areas. Finally, making it mandatory to adopt earthquake-resistant designs and also use light materials in the major construction activities in the vulnerable areas. The other disaster is tsunami. Earthquakes and volcanic eruptions that cause the sea floor to move abruptly, resulting in a sudden displacement of ocean water in the form of a high vertical waves called as tsunamis or harbor waves or seismic sea waves. Normally, the seismic waves cause only one instantaneously vertical wave, but after the initial disturbance, a series of afterwaves are created in water that oscillate between high crust and low trough in order to restore the water level. The speed of the wave in the ocean depends upon the depth of the water. It is more in the shallow waters than in the ocean deep. As a result of this, the impact of tsunami is less over the ocean and more near the coast, where they cause a large-scale devastations. Therefore, a ship at a sea is not much affected by tsunami, and it is difficult to detect tsunami in the deeper parts of the sea. It is so because over deep water, the tsunami has a very long wave and limited wavelength. Thus, the tsunami wave rises the ship only a meter or two and will rise the rise and fall takes several times. As opposed to this, when a tsunami enters a shallow water, its wavelength gets reduced and the period remains unchanged with increases the wavelength, wave height, and sometimes this height can be up to 15 meters or more, which causes large-scale destructions along the shores. Thus, these are also called as shallow water waves. Tsunamis are frequently observed along the Pacific Ring of Fire, particularly along the coast of Alaska, Japan, Philippines, and other islands of the Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, and in India. After reaching the coast, the tsunami waves release enormous energy stored in them and water flows turbulently onto the land, destroying the seaports and towns, structures, buildings, and other settlements. Since the coastal areas are densely populated in the world cover, and these are also the centers of intense human activity, the loss of life and property is likely to be much higher by the tsunami as compared to the other natural hazards in the coastal areas. The extent of devastation caused by the tsunamis can be assessed through the visuals of the Banda Ake, Indonesia, presented in the books of practicals of geography. Unlike the other natural disasters, the mitigation of the hazards created by tsunami is difficult, and mainly because of the fact that losses are much larger scale. It is beyond the capacity of an individual state or a government to mitigate its damage. Hence, the combined efforts at international levels are possible ways of dealing with these disasters, as has been in the case of the tsunami that occurred in 26 December 2004, in which more than 3 lakh people lost their lives. India has volunteered to join the International Tsunami Warning System after the December 2004 tsunami disaster. Tropical cyclones. Tropical cyclones are intense low-pressure areas confined to the area lying beneath 30 degree north to 30 degree south latitudes in the atmosphere, around which the high-velocity winds blow. Horizontally, it extends to 500 to 1000 kilometers. Vertically, it extends up to 12 to 14 kilometers. A tropical cyclone or a hurricane is like a heat engine that is energized by the release of latent heat on account of condensation of moisture that the wind gathers after moving over the oceans and seas. There are differences of opinion among the scientists about the exact mechanism of the tropical cyclones. However, some initial conditions for the emergence of the tropical cyclones are large and continuous supply of warm and moist air that can release the enormous latent heat. The second one is strong Coriolis force that can prevent the filling of low pressure at the center. That is, absence of Coriolis force near the equator prohibits the formation of tropical cyclones between 5 degree north to 5 degree south latitude. The unstable condition through the troposphere that creates the local disturbances around which cyclones will develop. Finally, absence of strong vertical windage, which disturbs the vertical transport of latent heat. Structure of the tropical cyclone. The tropical cyclones are characterized by large pressure gradients. The center of the cyclone is mostly a warm and a low pressure cloudless core known as the eye of the storm. Generally, the isobars are closely placed to each other, showing high pressure gradients. Normally, it varies between 14 to 17 or 100 kilometers per 100 kilometers. But sometimes it can be as high as 60 MB per 100 kilometers, and the expansion of the wind belt is about 10 to 150 kilometers from the center. Spatio and temporal distribution of tropical cyclones in India. Owing to its peninsular shape, surrounded by a Bay of Bengal in the east to the Arabian Sea in the west, the tropical cyclone in India also originates in these two important locations. Though the most of the cyclones originate between 10 to 15 degree north during monsoon season, yet in case of Bay of Bengal, cyclones mostly develop during the months of October and November. Here they originate between 16 degrees to 2 degree north latitudes, and in the west of 92 degrees east longitude. By July, the place of the origin of these storms shift to around 18 degree north latitude and west to 90 degree east near the Sundarban Delta. Consequences of the tropical cyclones. It was mentioned that the energy to the tropical cyclones come from the latent heat released by the warm moist air. Hence, with the increase in the distance from the sea, the force of the cyclone decreases. In India, the force of the cyclone decreases with increase in the distance from Bay of Bengal to Arabian Sea. So the coastal areas are often struck by the severe cyclonic storms with an average velocity of 180 km per hour. Often this results in the abnormal rise in the sea level known as the storm surge. A surge is generated due to the interaction of air, sea and land. The cyclone provides the driving force in a form of very high horizontal pressure gradient and very strong surface winds. The sea water flows across the coast along with the strong winds and heavy downpour. This results in the inundation of human settlements, agriculture fields, damaging crops and destruction of structures created by the human beings. Floods. Floods are other disaster that we come across. You read in newspapers and watch images of the floods on television occurring in some regions during rainy season. inundations of land and human settlements by the rise of water in the channels, and it spill over the presents the condition of flooding. Unlike the other natural disaster, the cause of floods are well established. Floods are relatively slow in occurrence and often occur in well-identified regions and with an expected time in a year. Floods occur commonly when water in the form of surface runoff exceeds the carrying capacity of the river channels and streams and flows into the neighboring low-lying floodplains. At times, this even goes beyond the capacity of lakes and other inland water bodies in which they flow. Floods can also be caused due to the storm surge. High intensity rainfall for considerably longer time period, melting of ice, snow, reduction in the infiltration rate and presence of eroded materials in the water due to high rate of soil erosion. Though the floods occur frequently over the geographical area having disastrous ramifications in many parts of the world, floods in South, Southeast and East Asian countries, particularly in China, India and Bangladesh, are frequent and equally disastrous. Once again, unlike the other natural disasters, human beings play an important role in genesis as well as the spread of floods. Indiscriminate deforestation, unscientific agricultural practices, disturbances along the natural drainage channels, colonization of floodplains, riverbeds are some of the human activities that play an important role in increasing the intensity of the floods. Not only intensity, but the magnitude and the gravity of the floods. Various states of India faces heavy loss of lives and property due to the recurrent floods. Rashtriya Bharg Ayog, National Flood Commission, identified 40 million hectares of land as a flood-prone area in India. West Bengal and Bihar are among the high flood-prone states of India. Assam also. Apart from these, most of the rivers in northern states like Punjab, Uttar Pradesh are also vulnerable to occasional floods, and it has been noticed that states like Rajasthan, Gujarat, Haryana and Punjab are also getting inundated in the recent decades due to the flash floods. This is partly because of the pattern of the monsoon and partly because of the blocking of most of the streams and river channels by the human activities. Sometimes Tamil Nadu experiences flooding during November and January due to retreating monsoon. Let us see the consequence of the control measures of floods. Frequent inundation of the agricultural land and the human settlements, particularly in Assam, West Bengal, Bihar, Eastern Uttar Pradesh and coastal areas of Orissa, Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, Gujarat and Punjab, Rajasthan, Haryana have serious consequences on the national economy and society. Floods do not only destroy the valuable crops every year, but they also damage the physical infrastructure such as roads, rails, bridges, human settlements. Millions of people are rendered homeless and are also washed down along with their cattle in the floods. Spread of diseases like cholera, gastroenteritis, hepatitis and other waterborne diseases spread a lot during flood-affected areas. However, floods also make a new positive contribution. Every year, floods deposit a fertile silt over the agricultural fields, which is good for the crops. Machuli, which is in Assam, the largest riverine island in the world, is the best example of the good paddy crops after the annual floods of Brahmaputra. But these are insignificant benefits in the comparison to the grave losses. The government of India as well as the state governments are well aware of the menace created by the floods every year. How do these governments generally respond to the floods? Construction of floods protection embankments in the flood-prone areas, construction of dams, afforestation, discouraging the major construction activities in the upper reaches, that is most of the flood-creating rivers, are some of the steps that need to be taken up on urgent basis. Removal of human encroachment from the river channels, depopulating the floodplain can be other steps, and this is particularly true in western and northern parts of the country which experiences flash floods. Cyclone centers may provide relief in the coastal areas which are hit by the storms. Let us see the other calamity, drought. The term drought is applied to an extended period when there is a shortage of water. Available water. Due to the inadequate precipitation, excessive rate of evaporation, and overutilization of the water from the reservoirs and other storages, including the groundwater. Drought is a complex phenomena as it involves elements of meteorology like precipitation, evaporation, evapotranspiration, groundwater, soil moisture, storage, surface runoff, agricultural practices, particularly the types of crops grown, socio-economic practices and ecological conditions. Let us see about the types of droughts. The meteorological drought. It is a situation when there is a prolonged period of inadequate rainfall marked with a maldistribution of the same over time and space. Agricultural drought. It is known as a soil moisture drought, characterized by low soil moisture that is necessary to support the crops and thereby resulting in the crop failures. Moreover, if an area has more than 30% of its gross cropped area under irrigation, the area is excluded from the drought prone category. Hydrological drought. It results when the availability of the water in the different storages and reservoirs like aquifers, lakes, reservoirs and etc. falls below what precipitation can replenish. The other thing is ecological drought. When the productivity of the natural ecosystem fails due to the shortage of water and as a consequence of the ecological distress, damages are induced in the ecosystem. Various parts of India experience these droughts recurrently, which result in some of the serious socio-economic and ecological problems. Let us see the drought-prone areas in India. Indian agriculture has been heavily dependent on the monsoon rainfall. Droughts and floods are two accompanying features of Indian climate. According to some estimates, nearly 19% of the total geographical area of the country and 12% of its total population suffer due to the drought every year. About 30% of the country's total area is identified as a drought-prone, affected around 50 million people. It is a common experience that while some parts of the country reel under the floods, and these regions that face severe drought during the same period. Moreover, it is also common sight to witness that one region suffers due to floods in one season and experiences drought in the other season. This is mainly because of large-scale variations and unpredictability in the behavior of the monsoon in India. Thus, droughts are widespread and a common phenomenon in the most part of the country, but these are most recurrent and severe in some and not so on others. On the basis of severity of droughts, India can be divided into the following regions: extreme drought affected area, severe drought prone area, moderate drought affected area. The extreme drought affected area, it is an evident that most of the parts of Rajasthan, particularly areas to the west of the Aravalli Hills, that is Marusthali, Kutch, regions of Gujarat, fall in this category. Included here also the districts like Jaisalmer, the Barmer from the Indian desert that receive less than 90 mm of average rainfall. And severe drought prone areas like parts of eastern Rajasthan, most parts of the Madhya Pradesh, eastern parts of Maharashtra, interior parts of Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka plateau, northern parts of interior Tamil Nadu, and southern parts of Jharkhand and interior Orissa are included in this category. The moderate drought-prone areas include the northern parts of Rajasthan, Haryana, southern districts of Uttar Pradesh, the remaining parts of Gujarat, Maharashtra, except Konkan, Jharkhand, Coimbatore plateau of Tamil Nadu, and the interior Karnataka are included in this category. The remaining parts of India can be considered either free or less prone to the drought. Let us see the consequences of the drought. The droughts have cascaded effects on the various other aspects of the environment and society. Crop failure leading to the scarcity of food grains, fodder, inadequate rainfall resulting in the shortage of water and often storage in all the three. As most devastating thing, Large-scale death of cattle, other animals, migration of humans, livestock are the most common sight to be seen in the drought-affected areas. Scarcity of water compels the people to consume contaminated water, resulting in the spread of many waterborne diseases like gastroenteritis, cholera, hepatitis, etc. Droughts have both immediate as well as long-term disastrous consequences on the social and physical environments. Consequently, planning for a drought has to take both aspects into the consideration. Provision for the distribution of the safe water, medicines, and availability of fodder, water for cattle, shifting of population and their livestock to safer places are some important steps that need to be taken immediately. Identification of the groundwater potential in form of aquifers, transfer of river waters from the surplus to the deficit areas, particularly planning for the interlinking of rivers and construction of reservoirs should be given serious thought, and remote sensing satellite imageries can also be useful in identifying the possible river basins that can be interlinked and in identifying the groundwater potential. Dissemination of the knowledge about drought resistant crops and proper training to practice the same can be some of long-term measures that can be helpful in drought mitigation. Rainfall harvesting can also be an effective method in minimizing the effect of droughts. Landslides is another disaster that India comes across. Have you ever read about blocking of roads in Srinagar or disruption of rail services by stone falling on the Konkan railway track? It happens due to landslides, which is a rapid sliding or a large landmass of the bedrocks. Disasters due to landslides are in general or far less dramatic than due to the earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, cyclones, but their impact on the natural environment and national economy is no way less severe. Unlike the other disasters that are sudden, unpredictable and are largely controlled by the macro and regional factors, landslides are largely controlled by highly localized factors. Hence, gathering information and monitoring the possibility of the landslide is not only a difficult but also immensely cost intensive. It is always difficult to identify in a precise statement and generalize the occurrence and the behavior of the landslides, however, on the basis of the past experience. Frequency and certain causal relationship with the controlling factors like geology, geomorphic agents, slope, land use, vegetation cover and human activities, India can be divided into number of zones. Landslide vulnerability zones such as very high vulnerability zone, high vulnerability zone, etc. The very high vulnerability zone means highly unstable, relatively young mountainous areas in the Himalayas, Andaman Nicobar, high rainfall regions with steep slopes in the Western Ghats, Nilgiris, the northeastern regions along with areas that experience frequent ground shaking due to earthquakes, and areas in the intense human activity, particularly those related to construction of roads, dams, are included in this very high vulnerability zone. The high vulnerability zone areas that have almost similar conditions to those included in very high vulnerability zone are also included in this category. The only difference between these two is a combination, intensity, frequency of the controlling factors. All the Himalayan states, the states of the northeastern regions except the plains of Assam are included in the high vulnerability zone. Coming to the moderate vulnerability zone, areas that receive less precipitation such as trans-Himalayan areas of Ladakh, Spiti, undulated yet stable relief and low precipitation areas in Aravalli, rain shadow areas of Western and Eastern Ghats, Deccan Plateau also experience occasional landslides. Landslides due to the mining and subsidence are most common in the states like Jharkhand, Orissa, Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh, Maharashtra and Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Goa and Kerala. Other areas like the remaining parts of the India, particularly states like Rajasthan, Haryana, Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, West Bengal, Assam, that is except the Karbi Anglong region, coastal regions are safe as far as the landslides are concerned. The consequences of the landslides have relatively small and localized localized, an area of direct influence, but a rock block, destruction of the railway lines, channel blocking due to rock falls have far-reaching consequences. Diversion of the river courses due to the landslides can also lead to the flood and loss of life and property. It also makes a spatial interaction difficult, risky, as well as a costly affair, which in turn adversely affect the development activities in this region. When it comes to the mitigation of this landslides, it is always advisable to adopt area-specific measures to deal with the landslide mitigation. Restriction on construction and other development activities such as roads, dams, limiting the agriculture to valley and areas with moderate slopes, and control on the development on the large settlements in a high vulnerability zone should be enforced. This should be supplemented by some positive actions like promoting large-scale afforestation programs and construction of bunds to reduce the flow of water. Terrace farming should be encouraged in the northeastern hill states where zooming is still prevalent. The disaster management. Disasters due to the cyclones, unlike the ones caused by the earthquakes, tsunamis and volcanic eruptions, are most predictable in terms of time, place and their occurrences. Moreover, with the help of the development of the technique to monitor the behavior of the cyclones, their intensity, direction, magnitude, it has become possible to manage the cyclonic hazard to some extent. Construction of the cyclone shelters, embankments, dikes, reservoirs, afforestation to reduce the speed of the winds are some of the important steps that can be taken to minimize these damages. However, increase in the loss of life, property in the countries like India, Bangladesh, Myanmar in successive storms is largely due to the high vulnerability of their population residing in the coastal areas. So, the Disaster Management Bill 2005 defines disaster as a catastrophe, mishap, calamity or a grave occurrence affecting any area arising from natural or man-made causes or by the accident or negligence which results in the substantial loss of life or human suffering or damage to and destruction of environment and is of such a nature or magnitude as to be beyond the coping capacity of the community of the affected area. The concluding part of this chapter is, on the basis of the above discussion, it can be concluded that disasters can be natural or the results of the human activities. And all the hazards need not turn into disasters, since it is difficult to eliminate disasters, particularly natural disasters. Then the next best option to mitigation and preparedness, there are three stages involving in disaster mitigation and management. The first thing is pre-disaster management. It involves generating data, information about disasters, preparing vulnerability zone mapping, spreading awareness among the people about this. Apart from these, disaster planning, preparedness and preventive measures are the other steps that can be taken in the vulnerable areas. The other thing is, during disasters, rescue and relief operations such as evacuation, construction of shelters, relief camps, supplying water, food, clothing, medicines should be done in an emergency basis. The post-disaster operations should involve rehabilitation, recovery of the victims, and it should also concentrate on the capacity building in order to cope up with the future disasters. These measures have a special significance to a country like India, which has about 2/3 of its geographical area and equal proportion of its population vulnerable to disasters. So, introduction of Disaster Management Bill and establishment of a National Disaster Institute of Disaster Management are some of the examples of the positive steps taken by the Government of India. Thanks a lot for following the whole session of Indian Physical Environment. And the next series will be continuing with the Fundamentals of Physical Geography book of Class 11th NCERT. Thank you.